Today's shiur is Perek Shmini, Mehilchos Machalos Asuros, the eighth chapter of the laws concerning forbidden foods. Halacha Aleph, paragraph 1. Gid hanashe noheg bebehema b'chaya hatahorin, v'afilu b'nevelos atrefa shalahem. The prohibition of gid hanashe, which is the sinew of the thigh vein, applies to kosher animals and beasts, even if they are nevela and trefa. That means even if they were not slaughtered properly, and they had died or had been killed without the benefit of shechita, and of course that is not acceptable for consumption, or trefa, the animal, even though it was slaughtered, had a fatal disease, in which case it is also non-kosher. But nevertheless, the prohibition of gid hanasha, of the sinew, of the thigh vein, applies to them as well. Furthermore, the Rambam says, v'noheg b'shlil uv'magdoshin bein kachim hanechalim bein kachim she'enin nechalim. This prohibition of gid hanasha applies also to the unborn animal, and with also respect to animals that were dedicated for a sacrifice, whether they are to be eaten, or sacrifices that are not intended to be eaten. V'noheg b'yarech shel yamin u'b'yarech shel shmol, and it applies both to the right as well as to the left thigh. V'ein osa min ha-Torah elosh al kaf ha-yarech b'vat. According to the Torah, only that portion which is upon the hollow of the thigh is forbidden. Shenemar asher al kaf ha-yarech. This is based on what it says in the Torah upon the hollow of the thigh. However, the Rambam continues, Avol shar hagid shelamayla min hakaf v'shelamata ad sofo v'chein chelib shal hagid eina osa ela medivrei sofrim. The rest of the sinew, however, both that which is above the hollow and that which is below it, as well as the fat upon the sinew, is not prohibited biblically, but only rabbinically. U'shnei gidim heim ha'pnimi ha'samach le'etzim osa min ha'Torah v'ha'elyin kulo osa medivreihem. There are two such sinews, the inner one next to the bone, which is forbidden by the Torah, and the upper one, the whole of which is prohibited only by rabbinic law. Halacha Beis, paragraph 2. Ha'ochel migid hanasha ha'pnimi, mimakim sha'al ha'kaf loke. If one eats of the inner sinew of the thigh vein, namely, he eats the portion which is upon the hollow of the thigh, this person is liable to lashes, to a flogging. Ve'im achal mechelbo, o mishar hagid hapnimi, o mikol hachitzon, makinosa makis mardus. If, on the other hand, he eats of its fat, or of the rest of the sinew, the other parts, that is not the portion which is upon the hollow of the thigh, or of any portion of the outer sinew, then this person is only violating a rabbinical commandment, and he is liable to the flogging prescribed by the rabbis for disobedience. V'kama shir achila kizayis. And what is the minimum amount prescribed for eating that one would be liable for? It is the size or the volume of an olive. V'im achal hagid sh'al ha'kaf kulo, afal pisha einbo kizayis lokem, b'pnei shehu kibirya b'pnei atzma. If the person eats the whole of that portion of the sinew which is upon the hollow of the thigh, then he is liable to a flogging even if it does not constitute an olive's worth, since it is considered a separate entity. In other words, the law is that if you eat a part of the sinew of this whole organ, then of course you would have to have a kezias, an olive's worth, to be liable. But if you eat the whole thing in its entirety, then even if it doesn't have an olive's worth, you are also liable. Halacha Gimel, paragraph 3. Och kezias migid shel yamin, o kezias migid shel shmol, if one eats an olive's worth of the sinew on the right thigh, and an olive's worth of the sinew on the left thigh, or if he eats two whole sinews, even if they do not amount to an olive's worth, the person is liable to be flogged twice. The Rambam uses the term, he gets 80 lashes, but it doesn't mean 80, it really means 40 minus 1, twice. Likewise, he would be liable to a flogging for each individual sinew. Every one that he eats, he would be liable for a separate flogging. Halacha Dalet, paragraph 4. Ha'ov, ein ba mishum gid hanasha, mepnei she'ein lo kaf yarech, ela yarecha aruch. The prohibition of the sinew, of the thigh vein, does not apply to fowl, to birds. Since they have no hollow of the thigh, their thigh is elongated. Ve'im nimtza ov she'yarecha k'yarecha behema she'yesh lo kaf, and if we should happen to find a bird whose thigh is like that of an animal, that is, that it has a hollow, then the sinu of its thigh vein would also be forbidden, though one would not be subject to lashes, to flogging, if one would have eaten this type of a thigh vein, the sinu of the thigh vein. V'chein behema shekap yirecha aruch kishal oaf, gid hanashe shela osur v'ein lokin olav. Conversely, if an animal has a thigh bone, which is elongated, just like that of a bird, the sinew would be forbidden, however, there would be no flogging incurred for this violation. Halacha hei, paragraph 5. Ha'ochel gid hanashim behema v'chai hatim'im potter. L'fisha eina noeg b'tmeya ela b'behema shekutlu muteres. If anyone eats of the sinew of the thigh vein, the gid hanashim, of an unkosher animal or beast, he would be exempt from liability, because the prohibition does not apply to non-kosher animals, but only to an animal which is totally permitted. Now the Rambam adds another point. If one eats this sinew of the thigh vein of an unclean animal, it is not considered as if he had eaten any other part of its body, and he wouldn't be liable for eating non-kosher animals either, because the sinews are not included with the flesh, as we have explained earlier. That is, in chapter 4, he explained that the sinews did not constitute eating of the meat of the non-kosher animal. If, however, he ate the fat, the non-kosher fat that is on top of this sinew, it is then considered as if he had eaten of the flesh of this animal. And since it is a non-kosher animal, he would therefore be liable for eating a non-kosher animal. Halacha Vav, paragraph 6. Ha'ochel gid hanashe shel nevela, o shel treif, o shel ola, chayib shtayim. If one eats the gid hanashe, the sinew of the thigh vein, of a dead animal that wasn't slaughtered, or of a treif, an animal that was slaughtered but had proven to be in possession of a fatal disease, or of a burnt offering, in any of these cases, if one eats the gid hanashe, he would be liable for two prohibitions. And the Rambam explains that even though normally we don't allow or we can't accept that one prohibition could apply when another prohibition already exists, this is an exception. In this case, since the sinew is included in the prohibition of the rest of its body, which would otherwise have been permitted, because the sinew prohibition only applies to one part of the body, and now we're adding on a whole new area of prohibition, the rest of the body, and now to this prohibition there has been added the other prohibition of the sinew itself. This is what is called Iser Kolel, when the second prohibition is more encompassing, is all-encompassing and all-embracing, so it adds a new prohibition even with respect to that part of the animal which already had been prohibited because of Gid Hanasha. So this person would be guilty because he ate Gid Hanasha, and he would also be guilty for Nevela or Trefa, or because it's a burnt offering, which of course is not permitted to use for any personal or private consumption. It's only to be going to be burnt on the altar. Halacha Zayin, paragraph 7. Hanotel Gid Hanasha tzarech lechatet achrav ad shelo yashir mimenu klum. When one removes the sinew of the thigh vein, the gid hanasha, the spot should be scraped after it to make certain that no remnant of the vein has been left behind. V'neman hatabach al gid hanasha, k'shem sh'neman al hachelev. The butcher is relied upon to remove the sinew, just as he is relied upon to remove the fat. We trust him. V'ein lochen basim mikol tabach, el im haya adam kosher u'muzu b'kashrus, hu sh'shochet la'atzmo u'mocher v'neman. One should not, however, purchase meat from just any butcher, unless he's known to be an upright person, he's known for his observance of the laws of kashrus, the dietary laws, that is known to slaughter for himself and sell his own meat. In other words, that the meat that he himself would eat is the meat that he sells, and he's known to be trustworthy. Only then should you purchase from such a butcher. Halacha Ches, paragraph 8. Bamed varam amurim b'chutz la'aretz. Avo b'eretz Yisrael, b'zman shekulu Yisrael, lokhim mikol adam. When does the foregoing apply that we have to know for sure what kind of a butcher it is? That is, if it's only outside of the land of Israel. But in the land of Israel, at the time when the land of Israel was entirely ours, belonged to the Jewish people, then we're allowed to purchase meat from anyone. Halacha text, paragraph 9. Tabach haneman limkar basar v'nimtza b'sar nevela u'b'sar treifa yotze mitachas yado ma'achzer es adamim lebailim u'mishamtim oso u'mavirin oso v'ein lo takana li'olam likach mimenu basar ad sheyelech l'makam she'ein makirin oso v'yachzer aveda b'davar chashuv o yishchot la'atzmo v'yotzi treifa la'atzmo b'mamun chashuv shevadei oso tshuva b'lo harama. In the case of a butcher, who everyone relies upon to sell valid meat, kosher meat, and then we discover that he has let nevela or treifa pass out of his hand. First of all, the Rambam says he must refund the money to the purchasers. In addition to that, he must be placed under a ban, a form of excommunication, and he's removed from his position. Nor is there any remedy for him to enable him to sell meat again. But the Rambam gives several exceptions. Unless he proceeds to a place where he is unknown, and there proves his integrity by restoring a lost article of considerable value which he has found. Another example, another exception would be that if he has performed shechita on his own, by himself, for himself, and then he declares something that he had slaughtered to be treifa, and discards the carcass, despite the fact that in that way he incurs a serious loss, so then we know that he is sincerely contrite, and he had repented, and it's not just a form of deception, because he has incurred a major financial loss. Only then could we go back to trusting him as a kosher butcher and shochet. Halacha Yud, paragraph 10. Halokeach basa ushlacha b'yad echad mi'ami ha'aretz harizeh nemen olav. If a person purchases meat and sends it by the hand of an ignorant Jewish person, that Jew may be relied upon with regard to this piece of meat. And even though he doesn't have a presumption of his reliability in matters of kashrus, of matters of dietary laws, one is not required to fear that he might have substitute other meat for this meat. And even a servant, male and female servant of a Jewish person, may be trusted in this regard. However, this does not apply to a non-Jew, since he might substitute other meat for the kosher meat. Halacha Yiralek, paragraph 11. Eser chanuyos, teisha mochras basar shchuta, v'achas mocheres nevelos, v'lokach basam yachas mihen, v'eina yodeya me'eza mehen lokach, hareza asur, shakol kavua kemechza al mechza dami. There are 10 shops, 9 of which sell kosher meat that was slaughtered properly, while one sells meat of nevela. Now, a person purchases meat from one of the stores, and he does not remember which store it was from. The meat is forbidden, since in the case of a fixed object, the possibility, one way or the other, is assumed to be equal. Even though there are 9 out of 10 that are kosher, normally we would follow the majority, the law is, we learn from the Torah, that if the question arises in a fixed place, it hasn't left the place of origin where it originated, we do not follow the majority. It's like half and half. And therefore, it's a doubt, a biblical matter, and we have to take the stringent side. Aval basa hanimsa mushloch bashuk holoich acha harov. The cold parish maruba parish. However, if we find meat in the street, we then do follow the majority and assume that anything that had separated from the original place had separated from the majority. And since 9 out of 10 are kosher, then we consider this to be kosher. If the majority of the sellers, of the vendors, were non-Jews, and it's forbidden because they sell non-kosher meat, and if the majority of the vendors were Jews, then it would be permissible. We follow the majority. Halacha Yud Beis, paragraph 12. The same thing would apply. If we find meat in the hands of a non-Jew, we don't know from whom he purchased the meat. If the people who sell meat in this community happen to be Jews, then it would be permissible. That is, if the majority of the butchers are Jews, then it's permissible. But the Rambam qualifies this by saying, Zehu din Torah. Kvar osr chachamim, kol habasa hanimtza, bein b'shug, bein b'yad goy, aval pisha, kol hashochtin, v'chol hamochin Yisrael. The foregoing license to buy even from the non-Jew, because the majority of butchers in the city are kosher, that is a biblical law. However, the sages have already imposed a prohibition on any meat that is found, whether it's found in the street, whether it's found in the hands of a non-Jew. Even though all the people who slaughter, and all the sellers of meat, all the vendors, happen to be Jews. Nevertheless, the rabbis prohibited purchasing and using that meat. V'lo od ela halokeach basa v'henicha bebeso v'nela min ha'ayin asur ela imkein hayilo basimin asher hayilo batvias ayin v'hu makira vade shehuzeh asher hayat tsaru v'chasum. Not only this, the Rambam says, but moreover, even if one buys meat, kosher meat, leaves it in his house, and loses sight of it, it is forbidden, unless it had a mark on it, or unless he is so familiar with its appearance that he can identify it with certainty, or unless it is wrapped up and sealed. But if you leave meat and you have someone who is not Jewish, who can be around that area, and he has access to it, it's not kosher because there's a danger of substitution, unless we have one of these signs that the Rambam mentioned, unless he could recognize it, or it has an identification mark, or it was sealed. Halacha Yud Gimel, paragraph 13. Tala kli malich tichas basar, nishbar hakli v'nafla hachatichas la'aretz. Uba umatza chatichas v'ein lo behen simin v'lo tviyas ayin harize asur. Sheyesh lomar, osa basar shahaya bekli gararasa chaya osheretz, v'zeh basar acherhu. If one suspends a vessel filled with pieces of meat, and the vessel breaks so that the pieces of meat fall to the ground, and then the person comes along and finds the pieces of meat, the law is that if they have no mark, or he cannot recognize the pieces of meat, the meat is forbidden, since it is possible that an animal or a creeping creature had dragged away the meat which was in the vessel, and now the meat on the ground is some other meat. We don't really have a guarantee, since he can't recognize it, that it's the same original meat that was kosher. Halacha Yudal, paragraph 14. Gid hanashe mutte bahana. Lefichach mutte l'adam l'shloach l'goy yarech shegid hanashe betocha v'nosan lo hayarech shleime b'fnei Yisrael. Ve'ein choshishin shema yochem imene Yisrael zeh kodum shinatel hagid. Shaharei mekomo nikar. One is permitted to derive benefit from the sinu of the thigh vein, the gid hanashe. It's forbidden to eat, but one can use it and sell it and derive benefit from it. Therefore, a Jewish person is allowed to send a non-Jew a thigh with a sinew of the thigh vein still in place, and the whole thigh may be delivered in the presence of another Jew. And we're not afraid that the other Jew might eat of the thigh before the sinew is removed. And the reason why we're not afraid is because the position is recognizable. We can tell where the thigh sinew is. And if it had already been removed, it would have been noticeable. For this reason, if the thigh is cut up, it may not be delivered to the non-Jew in the presence of the other Jew before removing the sinew. The danger is that the Jew should eat of it, since he cannot tell if it had been removed or not. Halacha Tezvot, paragraph 15. Kol makom shenema b'Torah lo tochal, lo tochlu, lo yochlu, lo yochal. Echad iser achila ve'echad iser hanoa b'mashma at sheyifrod l'cha hakosuv k'derech shaparet b'nevela. Shenemar l'gera shebesharecha titnena v'achola. V'kachelev shenemar bo ye'asa l'cha malacha. Wherever the Torah says, you shall not eat, they shall not be eaten, or it shall not be eaten, any of the forms that the Torah uses to say, don't eat a certain type of food, it includes the prohibition of both eating as well as deriving benefit from the food. In other words, any time the Torah says not to eat something, we assume the Torah is also prohibiting benefit as well, unless the Torah specifies to the contrary. And the examples where the Torah does so is in the case of nevela, a dead animal which was not slaughtered, where the Torah says in the book of Deuteronomy, you may give it to the stranger that is within thy gates, that he may eat it. Or in the case of forbidden fat, of which it is said in the book of Leviticus, it may be used for any other service. A further exception to this, the Rambam says, is O achi yisparish b'torah sheba'al peshu muta b'hana, kigon shkatzim, uramasim, v'dam, v'eifim anachai, v'gid hanasha, shekol elu mutarim b'hana m'pi ha-kabbalah, afal pi shehim asurim ba'achila. Or unless it is interpreted by the oral Torah to the effect that the benefit of it is permitted. Where do we find the oral Torah permitting benefit from forbidden foods? In the case of insects, creeping things, blood, the limb of a living animal, the sinew of the thigh vein, all of which are permitted for benefit based on this oral tradition, although they are forbidden to eat. Halacha Tezayin, paragraph 16. Kol macha shehu asa b'hanah im nehen nevelo achal kigam shemachar anasin lagay o leklavim ein alokim o makinosa makas mardus. Any food which is forbidden to derive benefit from, not only to eat, but also to benefit from, if the person had derived benefit without eating, for example, he sold it, gave it as a gift to a non-Jew, or gave it to dogs, he does not get the lashes that are normally given for a violation of a negative commandment. Because this is not the real main form of the violation. The main violation is eating. This is only a secondary part of the violation. However, he does get, the Rambam says, makas mardus, the lashes that are administered for disobedience. V'hadamim mutarim, and the money is permitted. That is, the money that he obtains for this forbidden food that he sells, he's allowed to use. The money does not become forbidden just as the food itself is forbidden. Chol davish asa ba'achila, u'mutar b'hanah, af apishu u'mutar b'hanah, asa lasas boschora, u'lechavin malachta b'dvarim asurim. Any food, the Torah prohibits consumption of, eating of, but permits deriving benefit from, nevertheless it is forbidden to make a business out of it, or to employ forbidden things deliberately in his handicraft. And the sole exception is forbidden fat, chalev, because the Torah clearly states it may be used for any other work. L'fichach ein osin schoro, lo b'nevelos, v'lo b'treifos, v'lo b'shkotzim, v'lo b'remasim. Therefore, one should not traffic in nevela, treifa, insects, or creeping things. Even though if it happens that a person possesses one of these things, they're allowed to sell it, but they can't make it into their business as a regular and fixed part of their income. Halacha Yud Zayin, paragraph 17. Hatzaya chinizdam no lochaya o vidog tmeim vitzadam, oshinitso de lo tmeim utahodim, mutulamachram. Avalo yichav malachto letmeim. A hunter who accidentally traps non kosher beasts, birds, or fish, or clean and unclean, kosher and non kosher animals together, is allowed to sell them, but he should not deliberately engage in trapping unclean species, because then he would be violating what we learned before, doing business with unclean things. Umuter lasos chora b'cholav shechol v'goyim en yisrael ra'ehu uvigvinos ha'goyim b'kayotzeban. However, one is permitted to make business with milk that was milked by a non-Jew without a Jew supervising, or by the non-Jewish cheeses, which is forbidden, as we learned, and anything similar to that. These are prohibitions that are only rabbinically forbidden. Halacha Yudches, paragraph 18, on the final paragraph. Zeh haklal. Kol she'isurim min ha'torah asur lasos bos chora. V'chol she'isurim midivreihim mutar lasos bos chora. This is the general principle. Any prohibition that is biblically mandated, one is forbidden to do it, to use it in his business. One cannot traffic in anything that is biblically forbidden. Even though the Torah clearly permits us to benefit from it, we can't make business out of it. However, anything that is only rabbinically forbidden, one is permitted to do business with it, whether it's questionable situation, or whether it is a certainty that it is forbidden. Since it is rabbinically forbidden, it is permissible to make business out of it. With this, the Rambam concludes the 8th chapter of the laws concerning forbidden foods.